Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you. Which is a little bit like saying the North Pole's a bit nippy, because it's actually lovely to see you all. Welcome, church family. I've called today's talk Walking in the Freedom That Jesus Won For Us. And I'd love to say that I came up with the title myself, but I didn't. It came from a talk that I had with our Tony Harris earlier on in the year during lockdown. I was chatting and I said something along the lines that was a bit defeatist. And Tony just looked at me and he said, "Chris, I want to walk in the freedom Jesus won for us." And instantly I knew he was right. It was as if it was like an arrow just went and hit the target. So today's title is called Walking in the Freedom Jesus Won For Us. And let's walk in that freedom. I asked some friends what living a victorious life meant to them.
Living a victorious life as a Christian means to me living in freedom, free from the past, knowing that I have been forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I can live in that freedom.
Okay, what does it mean to me? It means living life to the full. I'm not yoked to the past. I don't have a fear for tomorrow. I'm living life today and living it to the full. And that means that I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress. And I can just do what God has called me to do and get on with it. I don't have to fear what other people think of me, because I'm not trying to please them. I'm trying to please Him. So that's what victorious living means to me.
Last week, we celebrated Easter. And for a couple of weeks before, I'd been studying about the resurrection of Jesus, and the importance that He rose from the grave. You know, if it wasn't for the resurrection, if Jesus hadn't have rose, Christianity would have fizzled out. We wouldn't even be here today. And yet, all over the world today, there are millions of Christians. They're everywhere.
Okay, Chris, so this isn't an easy question to answer, because a lot of the time we don't feel we're living a victorious life at all, because the devil throws so much stuff at us, doesn't he? But we have to remember, especially on Easter Sunday like today and Good Friday, that actually Christ went into that battle on His own against all the powers of evil. And He was victorious when He rose from the grave. And because of that, if we love the Lord Jesus and have accepted Him as our Saviour, we are on the victor's side. So we can live victoriously, even when times are rubbish, which oftentimes they are. And just remember in those times that we are living on the victor's side, and He will be in the fight that we're in, whatever fight that is.
Okay, for me, not that I walk a victorious Christian life all the time, because sometimes I fail in the battle. Jesus said that we will have times of trouble. There will be times when you know, the world will just pile this stuff on us. But He said, rejoice, because He's overcome the world. So no matter what it is we face, He's in it with us. And, you know, I was thinking in Corinthians, I think it is 2 Corinthians 4, where it says about, you know, when we fall down, we get up again. You know, we're overcome, but we're not destroyed and all that. You know, the victorious living is really in Jesus. If we subject ourselves to Him, if we surrender, I should say, to Him in our daily walk, then we cannot fail to be victorious. But if we go our own way, then we won't be victorious. And that's the problem, I suppose. And some people do that.
So now, as a blood-bought, spirit-filled Christian, how do we live a life that is victorious? One that is walking in the freedom that Jesus won for us. Someone who is discerning. Someone who can evaluate situations and doesn't continually fall into sin. someone who can put to death the sinful desires of our flesh. How do we live that life? Firstly, we need to know what victory looks like for a Christian. Now, the verb form of the word victory in the New Testament is usually translated as conquer. Paul the Apostle says in Romans 12:21, "Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil by good." That is, do not allow evil to win a victory over you, but win the victory over evil by doing good. Now, I used to listen to an American preacher, and he's with the Lord now, and he once said, and I quote, "If you're doing what you should be doing, then you can't be doing what you ought not to be doing." But it's not just as easy as that, is it? We all know it's not that easy. No, even Paul, he said, "I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." And then in the King James Version, it says, "O wretched man am I." So now, as a born-again Christian, how do we live the victorious Christian life? How do we clear out the cupboard and sweep out the dirt before we start painting? Well, I believe we need to prepare ourselves. We need to forgive anyone who has wronged us. Maybe they've offended us, criticized us, or even hurt us. We need to walk in forgiveness. Now, that's not easy, but it's as plain as this. If you don't, you will not grow. You will carry on saying, "Yeah, but if he or she, or if they, but. In fact, the only area that you may grow in is bitterness. And you'll miss out on what God has for you. What are the signs that a church are not walking in victory? What are those signs? What would you see? Well, I believe you'd see backbiting. You'd see quarrelling, gossip. That's just to mention a few. But here's the big one that you will see. You will see unforgiveness. When there is no forgiveness, or very little, there will be no genuine Christian growth. To live this victorious life, we also have to get rid of all the false idols in our lives. God says, we know this, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." So let's take a look at King David's life. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, a mighty warrior. And then we know as a young man, he overcame Goliath. He then went on to kill many Philistines and won many wars. And as we know, this mighty king, he then fell into sin. He actually broke at least 6 of the 10 commandments when he became overcome with lust for Bathsheba. God says, we just read it, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Well, David allowed his lust to be his God. Secondly, honour thy father and mother. David dishonoured them. He brought shame to the family. Do not murder. Well, he had Uriah killed. You shall not commit adultery. Well, I guess that's clearest of all. It says, you shall not steal. He stole another man's wife. Do not covet. David broke this law as he coveted his neighbor's wife. Let's read how David came to realize how far he had fallen. We read in 2 Samuel 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller who came to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. Well, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man." Isn't it amazing how we can so easily see fault in others, but not so in ourselves? Because David sinned, there was huge consequences. There's always consequences when we sin. But God, our God, is so gracious. He forgave David when he repented. And what I take from this, what I believe that we can take from David's life, is that when we cry out to God, admit when we're wrong, give him all the pieces of our brokenness, it's then that he can put us on a road to a victorious life. I've heard it said that you are only as well as what you confess. God hasn't made us to walk around in unconfessed sin. God never intended us to walk around with unconfessed sin. It can make us ill. It can certainly make you lose your peace. As I look back on my Christian walk and look at whenever I've been able to lay down the sin in my life, it's when I've been honest with God. And it's when I've been, and I've tried not to justify myself. No, it's when I've truly repented, admitted I've been wrong, said sorry to a holy God, and then sought his forgiveness. And then I've asked for the strength to overcome. And it's then that I've seen breakthrough. Possibly it was a deep-rooted lie, a lie that I'd been believing for many years, a lie that I thought, to me, it was true. And it was a lie that I thought I could never be free from. But today, if God is speaking to you, if he's speaking to you now, and his truth is like that arrow, hitting the target, you can be free. You can walk a victorious life. God loves you, and Jesus came to set the captives free. You see, the enemy, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. But we trust in God's word, and God's word says in 1 John 1:19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. Amen to a victorious life. We don't have to feel condemned.
When I was a young Christian, I used to think that victorious Christian living was all about being happy all the time and always being cheerful, whatever life might bring along to you. But increasingly now, I think it's more about trusting Jesus in every situation and bringing your anxieties and fears to him. So for me, victorious Christian living is summed up in this verse in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Victorious Christian living, I guess, being faithful, being intentional in the way that I live, and fixing my eyes on Jesus and the coming kingdom.
So how do we turn to God and cry out to him? If you're like me, and maybe as a young child you were told, boys don't cry, you mustn't cry, you'll probably find it hard. But my answer to that is, King David, a man after God's own heart, he cried out to God. He knew God. He knew him. So my question is, do you know God? Do you really know him, or do you know about him? A few years ago, I was in my shop and this guy used to come in regular and I got to know him. And as we had a few different conversations, I noticed that he sometimes brought up a Bible verse. And so I asked him, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And I said, you know, do you know God? And he actually said, I know about God, but I don't know him. And I thought that was quite strange, really. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I teach RE at the local school. And so I know the stories. I know about God, but I don't know him. We read in Philippians 3, verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. The Christian life is a life that is lived in a moment-by-moment surrender to God. I think I'll say that again. The Christian life is a life that is lived in a moment-by-moment surrender to God. We read in 1 John 2:16, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God, he will live forever. So plainly speaking, here are three ways to experience victory. One, spend time with God. Talk to him, ask him questions, read his word, and listen to what he says. Two, it says in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. If you feel that you're being attacked, just say out loud how great God is, how holy he is, how magnificent he is, how gracious he is, how his word is truth. But the enemy, he hates it. He actually takes off. He has to flee. He don't want to hear that. And then thirdly, three, know that now you are a new creation in Christ. Perhaps learn some scriptures such as 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. What does it mean to live a victorious life as a Christian?
Well, to live a victorious life as a Christian, first of all, is to die for yourself and to live for Christ. To try to live your life as Jesus did, to love and to care for the people who are Christians and have given themselves to Christ, but also people outside who don't know him, to go and to help and to spread the word of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. He got his disciples to go out and to tell the truth, and this world is so very, very far and different from this, and it's a new thing really to them. Most people probably don't even know Jesus, and the main thing is Jesus. And if you can get people to understand and to want to live the way Jesus said, then they'll be living victorious lives.
Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.